We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. It is a football Friday. The NFL season is underway. The Falcons kick off at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And Randy, look, I know you and I are fired up to crack open the mics every single day. But there's just a little more juice today on a happy hour Friday with football season upon us. Good morning to you, my friend.
What's happening, man? Yeah. It is our happy hour Friday. You know how we get down on the midday show with Andy and Randy on Fridays. And yeah, it's even – happy hour is even better when football's around. Even though ain't no football games today,
sure,
you know, you can sit back and watch highlights over and over again. There's only one damn game. But it was exciting to have – it's just a lot of sports going on last night. But as you know, this is what we do. So y'all know the rules when it comes to our happy hour here on the midday show. Make sure y'all send it in and we'll shout you out. And I don't know – we got something in the works for next week. We'll get more details on it as far as the virtual happy hour so y'all can actually see Andy drink, because I still don't believe Andy drinking. I think Andy might be putting on. You know, it's been this long. So maybe you can keep going on without it.
So just so we're clear, we end the show yesterday with you saying you think I'm the type of guy that would wear a fake nipple. That was the last minute of the show yesterday. And the first minute of the show today, you think I'm the type of guy who's lying about drinking. And you got something you want to say to me, man? Like, are we all right? What's going on over there?
You know I love you, man. You know you're my brother from another, man. You know I got nothing but love for you. It's just fun to always mess with you, man. That's all. That's it.
We're starting early today.
You know how I am with you. I could talk about you, but nobody else can. You know, I can have fun with you and call you all kind of names just the same way you can do that to me. But nobody else might do it. You know, that's just the bond that we got, man. But yeah, I mean, yesterday was an interesting day. You know, if you can, and we talked about it in our pre-show meeting. If you could have like looked at our group text change that we have at the beginning of the Braves game. at the end of the game, it's like, man, this is a mess, man. But yeah, it's gonna be an exciting weekend. Got college football back. Then it's the big Sunday. So I mean, I'm excited, dude. Just ready to just sit back and chill. It's been a long time since I just had a weekend of just watching sports all weekend and not knowing the outcome. So that's what I'm gonna do this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It's what we've been waiting for as sports fans, and we've had sports back now for a while now. We've had busy nights. But there's just nothing quite like having football on the calendar. And, you know, last night was the first night that we got to sit there. And whether you got multiple screens out like a lot of people did, or you were working out the last button on your remote, whatever it was, you had Braves baseball, which turned out to be great. Like you said, didn't get off to the best start. That guy Robbie Erlend, man, he might be worse than Tommy Malone. Tommy Malone, by the way, he went from 10-run Tommy to 10-day Tommy because he's on the IL now with inflamed – what do you have, an inflamed elbow or something like that?
So that was the reason.
Uh-huh. Okay. That explains it. Don't think we're going to see him again. He's probably gone. And Robbie Erlin, we had a listener yesterday on Twitter. My bad for not remembering exactly who it was, but I got to give some credit. Called him Early Erlin because all he does is leave the game early.
That's a great one.
That's a great one.
That's a great one. Yeah,
and
I like it.
That's what we're saddled with right now from a Braves perspective is these terrible starting pitchers. They're not even starting pitchers. These terrible pitchers that have to start games because of how injured and derailed the starting rotation is. And still, these guys come back and win these games over and over and over again. And Freddie Freeman said it after the game yesterday. I know we're going to hear more from him in a minute. That he felt like last night's game was the best win they've had. Best win that they've had all season. And I can't disagree. Coming off the high of a 29-run night, if you go out there and they're down 5-0 yesterday, they didn't get into Washington until late. They could have just rolled over and said, all right, you know, whatever. We scored 29 last night. We'll get them tomorrow. But for Freddie and Ronald and Dansby to lead the charge back, it was a hell of a damn win, man. And that's why as soon as we're ready to start, and I was guilty of this earlier in the week, you know, kind of being down in the dumps a little bit. Woe is me. Oh, man, these Braves, maybe this is finally the last straw and they're not going to be able to overcome it. And they just keep doing it. And that's why that crapshoot that Alex Anthopoulos talks about is true. These guys have an elite offense and they can win games with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. I told you, man. When you're dealing with the Braves right now, man, you're bucking like five, deuce, four, Trey. That's what you're doing. And, you know, you got to get to a point where we saw it the other night, man. I mean, they lose 8-0. It ain't always going to be there. But then, I mean, as much as we complain and get mad and we're talking about after 3 innings, you're down 5-0, do we count them out? I mean, you really can't count them out because they're so explosive offensively. And last night just showed the thing. I mean, I never thought the Braves were out of it. I was just frustrated with damn Robbie. I mean, I was just frustrated with him and frustrated with everything that goes along with it. So, I mean, this is what's going to continue to happen until, you know, maybe when Max Fried gets back, Ian gets more and more comfortable, maybe Cole Hamels. But this is just going to continue to happen, man. What did we say yesterday, Bunk? The hope. That's what it is. Hope. The hope. Yep. We hope they do well. We hope they pitch well. I'm not going to bank on it, but I consider it hope.
Yep.
But But what do we always say, Bunk? Don't complain about no win. They won.
They won.
And they beat the team they need to beat. So,
that's right.
Move on. On to the next one.
On to the next one today, and hopefully they can get it and win. I guess it would be a split of the series already, but you can go in and sweep Washington. That would be phenomenal. Speaking of elite offenses, I think we already knew what Kansas City was. We saw them win the Super Bowl last year. We saw what Patrick Mahomes did all season long for the last couple of seasons. I don't think there was any reason to believe that they wouldn't be the same this year, but they most certainly are. And that running back they got from LSU, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he fits in nicely with what they do in Kansas City. Like I don't want to be the, you know, and I know you mentioned it yesterday and it's been mentioned a lot today about 16-0 with Kansas City. Like I don't think that's ridiculous. Like sometimes we get over our skis making these predictions and want to crown everybody whatever after one game. Like Kansas City's been doing this for a couple years now and they didn't seem like they skipped a beat in the offseason. I mean, it was a treat watching them play last night. The rest of the NFL is going to have to catch up to him this season, and I know there's going to be some good teams, but damn, that was an impressive showing in week one.
They're going to be a problem, man. And the thing was is that you saw a little rust. I think the biggest takeaway, and we're going to talk more about the tackling was bad on both sides. I mean, you know, it was. But it just happened that KC was out more, but the tackling was just horrible. The thing with Edwards-Helaire, how he's going to succeed is because that box is going to be so light. You cannot – you can't play 8-man fronts against Kansas City. You have got to drop safeties back and everything. And they did a good job. The one thing what Houston did outside of JJ, they just laid on blocks. And that's the one thing. If you ever talk to Dan Quinn, one of the most frustrating things about coaching the D lineman is the ones that lay on blocks and don't use their hands to get off blocks. And you saw a lot of sticking the blocks last night defensively for Houston. But yeah, Kansas City's a problem, man. When you talk about Kelce, Tyreek didn't even go off last night, even though he caught a tug and everything. Saw Kelce do his thing. And then Sammy Watkins I think people think Sammy's washed. Sammy ain't washed. Sammy just can't stay healthy. When Sammy's right, Sammy can ball, you know. And then the kid from Fort Valley, Marcus, he got to catch the ball, man. But, I mean, I thought he played well outside of a couple drops. But, yeah, they are. And then you got that dude pulling the trigger who they didn't really need a big game, but he just, you know, threw three more touchdowns and he moved on from there. But defensively, I thought, Kansas City was pretty good. I thought they pressured – pressure Deshaun, even though Houston, their O-line is not pretty, It's not good yesterday. How about I say that? It wasn't that good yesterday.
It's not good.
You know, yeah. It wasn't good yesterday. But, I mean, yeah. Kansas City going to be a problem. But we kind of knew they were going to be a problem. They looked like they were mid-season form after that, even in the first drive.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They look like they – and that goes, you know, and a lot of that goes to the, just the familiarity mm-hmm. and the continuity of those guys. One thing I love about that Kansas City team, they don't care who gets the damn praise or glory or nothing. They are just one unit. Like, during the negotiations for contract, do you ever hear anything out of Kansas City? No. I mean,
no,
they are all –
You heard the defensive player, was it Charles Johnson?
Chris Jones wasn't complaining about it. He just wanted his money.
Chris Jones,
you know,
that's as close as you get, and it wasn't complaining.
That's as close you got. If that's as close you get to complaining,
I'd like to be paid like this. And then they paid
him. Yeah. If that's as close you get to complaining, I mean, these guys, I mean, they are – they're going to be a problem, Bunk. That's all I'm going to say, man. The way they looked last night, they ran the ball 34 times. Mm-hmm. When the hell Andy Reid ever ran the ball 34 times and didn't have to run out the clock? If they can do that, man.
Yes.
They're problems, brother.
They're absurd. And you're right. Midseason form is a really good way to put it. And look, I know the tackling was raggedy at times last night. Some of the line play, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to look. I'll be honest. There wasn't as many penalties. It just wasn't quite as bad as some of what we've been told the line play and some of this early season football might look like. It still was a little bit raggedy, but early season over the last 5 years or so in the league, we've seen it look like that. The Chiefs looked like they were in midseason form, and familiarity with one another, big part of it. Continuity in that offense, big part of it. I mean, Patrick Mahomes being just, he could not be more zen in the pocket. And I think that's to me the thing that I noticed most about him yesterday was, as great as he's been, he just looks as comfortable as ever. And, you know, Super Bowl MVP and a Super Bowl ring and a MVP for the league and $500 million. That'll put your mind at ease, you know. Like, I understand why he's so comfortable back there, not to mention the fact that he's an amazing quarterback. But
correct.
I love what you said about spreading the ball around. I mean, they ran the ball 34 times, which is great. They passed the ball 24 times. I don't know that their balance will look like that every single game, but it worked, so whatever. But you got guys in Sammy Watkins with 7 catches, Travis Kelce with 6, Tyreek Hill with 5, DeMarcus Robinson with 3, Darrell Williams with 2, Mecole Hardman even got 1. That's what we need to see from the Falcons on Sunday. And I know we're going to get to our keys to the game in the 1 o'clock hour. Dave Archer joined us yesterday. If they can get back to spreading the wealth around on offense, to me that's a huge factor in this Falcons offense getting back towards what we want it to look like, being the strength and the backbone of this football team. I mean, Matt Ryan is, we talked about it yesterday, and Julio Jones, the edge that you have against any opponent that you play every single week. You are as good, if not better, at those positions. Spread it around, man. Make it look, you're not going to make it look exactly like Kansas City's offense did last night. That's a different level. But that is what they did in 16 and 17 when they were in the playoffs, and that's what they need to do again this year.
Yeah, they got to find a way to get your playmakers to football. And the thing is that we know that Julio's going to get his no matter what. But you got to find a way. And the thing with Julio is he don't mind being the decoy and letting somebody else get there. That's what I love about Julio, because he's that type of player. And you saw last night, Houston, they tried to. I mean, you know, they got some good players. I mean, they don't have DeAndre Hopkins. No, they don't have him. And it showed last night. But they got to make plays for Deshaun. And Deshaun is so damn good. And, you know, the one interception wasn't his fault, because as a tight end, you cannot get beat by a DB like that. You just can't. All right. Pass rusher, that's fine. But you cannot get bullied. Fails cannot get bullied like that by Tyrann Mathieu. That just does not happen if you're a tight end. That was just piss poor. And that chapped my behind. I was like, what the hell? I know Tyrann is a hell of a player, but come on, man. Come on, man.
Football's back, Randy.
Football's back, dog. Yeah,
football's back. Yeah. The Falcons play on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Going to spend a lot of time on that today. It is a happy hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey.
Yes.
Tweet us a picture of what you're drinking. We'll give you a shout-out on the radio. We'll come back and get to what's trending, including what Freddie Freeman's talking about here.
That's not us. That's not our team.
Well, let's find out exactly what. What is their team? They come back. They win. I know that. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen. For what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
Usually my first preseason game ends after about a series, so this is going to be a little bit different, I hope. You know, fingers crossed. I hope, than that. But it's definitely going to be different. I think, you know, number one, a lot of times early in preseason too, you're not really game planning for the opponent you're going against. You're kind of just working on some of the base things. So it might not fit with what you're doing, which leads to, you know, some sloppier play. I think it's going to be pretty good football for sure. And I don't think it's going to take 4 weeks for it to get back to what everybody is used to seeing. I think it's going to happen pretty quickly.
Matt Ryan talking about the season getting underway this Sunday afternoon right here in Atlanta against the Seattle Seahawks, 1 p.m. on Fox, of course, right here on 92.9 The Game as well. It's a happy hour Friday here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Extra happy because it's football season. Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. All you got to do is tweet us a picture of what it is that you're drinking here on this Friday morning, and we'll shout you out on the radio. We'd be happy to do so. And I hope Matt Ryan's right. I hope he's right that the play is as close to mid-season form as we can expect. We talked about this last year, Randy, even with a preseason. Okay, yeah, like you're working yourself into shape, you're working yourself into form, you want to look like you're ready to go. But the losses count, and the wins too. And the Falcons play all NFC teams early in this season. And you're trying to tell me, if you go back and look at the NFC playoff picture over the last decade, pretty much every year, either the Falcons or the Seahawks are in that picture. So what happens on Sunday afternoon could very well matter as far as the wild card round of the playoffs in like 4 months from right now. So, yeah, okay, there's no preseason. We're not whatever. What happens on Sunday goes a long way to talk about who goes to the playoffs at the end of the season. So be ready.
Yeah, this ain't no warming up period. I mean,
no preseason.
I mean, we can go back to when we talked about baseball, marathon, not a sprint. Not saying that the preseason is the end all be all, but I mean, yeah, you got to go from the beginning right now. And the first series counts, the first play counts. You know, and I said yesterday that I won't judge a team off of a 1 week. You know, as far as if they stink or not, you know, I think you can pretty much tell if a team is like, it don't matter what, Kansas City's a good damn football team. We knew that from the beginning. Yes. We don't know what the Falcons are. We think they should be a good football team, but we don't know that. We know that Baltimore Ravens is a good damn football team. You know, they're going to be fine. And, you know, because of the organization and how the team is constructed, and you just know they're a good damn football team. We hope the Falcons are. I mean, that's all we can say. The Falcons should be a good football team, and we'll see this on Sunday. And I think, you know, Seattle presents, you know, issues, especially the quarterback position. I think that if you look at how they are up front, if you find a way to protect Matt from, in those A-gaps, the center guard area, then you should be fine. I don't think they have an elite rusher, but that could be. But I don't ever think people are elite rushers until it seems like they play against the damn Falcons, and then they just get Matt is on the damn ground the whole time. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to come down to that right there. You got to protect too. But, I mean, the exciting thing is that, you know, nobody else had any preseason too. And not every game is going, and not every team, and not every offense is going to look like Kansas City looked like. You know, I think you're going to see more teams look more like Houston's offense, you know, as far as just looking like they're out of sync. So hopefully they're in sync and to some point where they can score some points. Because I think that's going to be the biggest thing. Score some points, and then we'll figure it out. We'll figure everything out. Just get ahead, and when you get in the red zone, that's one thing I'm going to be looking at tomorrow. I mean, I'm sorry, on Sunday, when you get in there. Because the Falcons, what do we know? They can move the ball between them 20s against anybody in the league. The 20s, they get. What do you do when you get there? How are you going to take advantage of those opportunities?
Absolutely right. They're a top three offense last year in terms of yards, in terms of passing, in terms of what they could do mostly between the 20s. And they were a bottom, certainly bottom 10, I think bottom like 7 team as far as scoring per game. So cool. Like, get all the yards. That's awesome. But you got to get in that end zone when you get into the red zone. And I know that they said that there's going to be a greater focus and an emphasis on trying to get the ball to Julio. Sounds like we hear that every single year. Seems like a good idea, but also, you know, don't force it to him. Here's Julio talking about maybe another benefit the Falcons have this year in the red zone.
And he looks amazing. In the scrimmage, he looks amazing. LA just spent some time with him, just bonding, right? Just seeing, you know, Todd Gurley, knowing Todd Gurley. Behind the athlete of Todd Gurley, right? Just knowing him as a person and things like that, because at the end of the day, it's all about bringing each other together and, you know, finding a common goal, purpose. And we share the same things. And like, you know, I got you, you got me. So like, he gonna do his thing in the run game, I'll do my thing in the pass game. And for him to do his thing in the run game, I got to go out there and block. And for us to do our thing in the passing game, you know, he got to sit in there and take care of protection.
And I think we all hope, again, back to that hope word, Randy, that Todd Gurley does do his thing in the run game. If he does, like to the level that he has in the past, then the Falcons offense has a chance to be really special. Even if he isn't 2017 Todd Gurley, which he's probably not. Maybe he is. That'd be great. He's still elite at getting into the end zone. He got in the end zone 12 times last year. He got in the end zone 17 times the year before that, 13 times the year before that. So for a Falcons team that has struggled to score touchdowns in the red zone, now you got that guy. And even if he's not that, you know, that dynamic, almost going to get you 2,000 all-purpose yards in a season type guy, he's got a nose for touchdowns. And hopefully that continues this season.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the things. And Dave Archer, he was on with us yesterday, that's one of the things he said. I mean, the red zone is where you could count on Todd Gurley. Some people just have a knack for scoring touchdowns, and he's one of those guys. He knows how to get to the end zone. And, you know I read something the other day. They're talking about they're going to get Julio Jones more involved in the red zone. Duh.
I don't know. They say that every year.
Yeah, they say that every damn year, don't they? Yeah. But, yeah, this team has enough weapons to score points. But once again, 20-20, unstoppable. Unstoppable 20-20. It's all about that red zone. Red zone efficiency, third down, will be a big deal for this Falcons team this year.
Maybe Hayden Hurst plays a big role in there as well.
You know.
I mean, you like to throw the ball to the tight end. Maybe he's a big body target you can get in the end zone as well. I don't think they do either. I don't care who scores. That was the other trademark of that team back in 2016. Matt Ryan threw touchdown passes to 13 different dudes. Dudes who, like, you never even heard of until they were on the roster that weekend. Like, who's this third string tight end playing? Oh, he's got a touchdown. There you go. Spread the ball around. Who cares who gets it? We saw that with the Chiefs last night. Just get it to everybody. If everybody's a weapon, your offense is even more dangerous. We'll get back to the Falcons throughout the show, obviously, in about half an hour in the NFL No Huddle as well. Braves played last night, too, and it got off to a rough start, and then, well, then this guy started going.
They wanted the ball up. Freddie hit it up, 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 and away out of here. A home run for Freddie Freeman. Just like that, the Braves break up the no-hitter, the shutout with one swing. Freeman's ninth homer makes it a 5-2 game. As Freddie launches another one, deep right center field, he's done it again. Freddie Freeman, upper deck, ties the game 6-6. He's absolutely incredible. A two-run homer game, and the Braves have tied it up. And the Braves have come all the way back, Jeff, from a 5-0 deficit.
I would say this is our best win, to be honest. With everything that just went into it, you know, these are the games where you could easily just kind of get down and just like, we got in late, what was us? You know, we'll just chalk this up and come back tomorrow. But that's not us. That's not our team. Just a bunch of grinders in this lineup.
Yeah, you are. Bunch of grinders. I know that makes Brian Snitker happy to hear that. Down 5-0 early. Robbie Erlin's terrible. Tommy Malone's yesterday terrible. He's on the IL now. Everybody making the same joke that he has an inflamed ERA. His ERA is not inflamed. He ruptured his ERA, man. Like, his ERA is severed. I don't know if Tommy Malone pitches again for the Braves this year. I don't think Robbie Erlin should either. I know that they don't have a lot of options, but damn. Let Charlie Culberson get a start at this point. Braves don't give
somebody
up.
Somebody else.
They come back. Freddie Freeman's amazing yesterday. That top of the lineup the Braves got right now.
Ronald Acuna is
getting on base 44% of the time. Freddie Freeman's getting on base 45% of the time. And then you got Marcelo Zuna, who's slugging 600. By the way, Duvall right after them. Dansby right after them. Like, the Braves lineup is disgusting right now in a good way. There's not a lot you can do through nine innings that's going to hold these guys down. That's why we were so frustrated the other day when they got shut out. They're not going to get shut out very much. They're never out of a game, and yesterday proved it.
I like it. I like the way that lineup is right there, man. And, you know, when you can, as long as they keep raking the way they are, don't change it. I think I might have said this last year. I said there is no way in hell. The only way Ronald Acuna is ever getting their three slots when Freddie don't want it no more. Well, hell, Freddie looks good in the two hole right now.
And
so as long as they continue raking and doing those things, man, just if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The only thing that's broken is your damn starting pitcher rotation. And I don't know how the hell you're gonna fix that, but we'll see. I mean, we just got to continuously keep building everything. We're almost at 60, Andy, and they still ain't figured it out. I know health and attrition and all that has contributed to some of this, but some of it. I mean, so you guys got hurt. Other guys are guys just ain't good. I mean, like I said, they bucking out there, man. Give me that folk trait. You know, that's what they doing. They just bucking.
I don't know what
hopefully
that means.
Huh?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What? You still you bucking said, like five deuce folk trait?
I don't get it. I'm sorry. About,
like craps, bucking, 7-5-2-7-4-3-4-3-7
Okay.
Yeah.
You said it earlier, and I was like, I'm going to pretend I get it, but I didn't. Full disclosure, man. Be honest.
Well, hey, because there's some things that I don't know, and y'all have to explain to me. So I'm glad that I had got to explain to you. I'm sorry, brother.
Hey, did you hear Julio Jones say that a lot of his off-season regiment yesterday was hiking?
Good
for
him.
He was doing a lot of hikes. I was like, hell yeah, Julio, me too.
Yeah,
it's a good way to stay fit.
I can hike. I just can't hike because once these feet and ankles start aching, hey man.
You got to get yourself a nice supportive pair of hiking boots. Some Keens or something like that. The nice high ankle.
Man, can you hike in Timberlands?
You can. That's a heavy hiking boot, though. Plus, you're going to get it messed up and creased. And, you know, everybody wears Timberlands. They want them to look good and clean. The Chiefs won last night. Georgia Tech play tomorrow. We're going to get into that as the show goes on. Georgia Tech, Florida State, 3:30, prime time. We'll be right back, though, with Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal. Brian Gebhardt joins us next on a Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink up.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, I feel
there it is, right?
There it is right there, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy on a Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. All we've seen is some coffee at this point, which is fine. Everton Archer, shout out. He's got his Waffle House to-go coffee cup.
Still let us bucking know when like you're five deuce four trade.
There it is. There's the reference. Yeah. Full circle. Yeah, full man. Circle. I feel a couple different ways about this. Good. I feel bad because any Dungeon Family reference, I'm gonna feel like a loser for not getting because I love the
That's
Dungeon
okay.
Family
it's
and every
good.
Member. But I don't know anything about craps. I'm full disclosure about that. I never played craps before in my life. Maybe That's someday I will. Probably not. Hey, I don't like losing money.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I ain't never played bridge.
You know. Neither have I. I never played
bridge. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I've never done all that stuff. So, I mean, there's a learning process to everything, man. You know, I don't hold that against you. I hold that against – you know who I hold that against?
Who you hold it against?
We're going to have him on the show later. I'm holding this against Jarvis. And here's why. And here's why I'm going to hold this against Jarvis. Because y'all was in Vegas for your bachelor party, right?
Yeah, we were.
Were y'all in the casino at all?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know where Jarvis from, all right? I know where Jarvis went to school. I ain't no way in the hell you wasn't in one of them little dorm rooms at Albany State not playing dice, all right? So I'm holding Jarvis responsible for you not playing dice when you was out there in Vegas.
And he might have. I don't know if he shot any craps when he was in Vegas. I played some blackjack. I mean, mostly we just walked around and drank everything we could find. I mean, that was we bet on some sports, went to the sports book and did some of that. But I don't know, man.
The more
I live, the more I realize I haven't lived. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things we talk about and I'm like, oh, I never did that. Probably should have. And there's other things too, where it's like, am I going to get the chance to do that? Like certain things you've missed out on and you just missed out on them. Yeah. I could probably play craps at some point. I'll probably be back in Vegas at some point, a chance to do that. But like, there's just certain things when we get into discussing them and I'm like, yeah, if I didn't do that when I was 23, I'm probably never going to do it. That's a bummer. Just like a slightly sheltered life that I've lived. I'm a little ashamed of that. You know? Expand my horizons a little bit more. Anyway, we're about 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Keep getting you ready for an NFL weekend. We had a game last night. Pretty fun. Chiefs are good. We'll react to that and talk about what the Falcons need to do on Sunday. And Brian was saying this, and we'll get to Brian in a minute, during the break. I know it's week 1 of the NFL season, but there's a lot of juice for this Falcons game. It feels like there's a lot riding on this Falcons game, doesn't it?
Man, like, it's gonna be. I mean, I know the fans ain't gonna be there, you know, rising up and all that. We won't be across Northside Drive at the Wade Ford tailgate show, but you can kind of feel that energy. I'm right there with you, man. And it's gonna be because the thing about it, when you're a team in the Falcons predicament as far as where they are as a team organization, any loss is a panic. Straight panic mode. And then, you know, we're going to break out some new stuff on our show. And remember, on Monday, we're going to let y'all call in and vent and all those things. I want some nice calls.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? We open up the phone lines on Monday and people are excited about Todd Gurley. Man.
But if, I mean, but still, even if it doesn't go the way that I think it should go, we're still gonna let you vent, you know.
Oh yeah.
Just don't cuss. Just don't cuss. You know, I like me some. I like people who cuss around me, you know. So, but not on the radio, you know. Cuss at Brian or Wendy when they pick up the phone, but don't cuss on the air.
Yeah, leave it off the air. Nobody wants to get in trouble. I mean, that is one of the risks you run when you take phone calls, is people might cuss. Don't do that. We want to keep being able to do it and not get fired. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. There's just
No. Don't cuss at Wendy and Brian. I'm not saying cuss at them. I'm saying if you want to cuss. Wendy just said don't cuss.
You can cuss at text Brian.
Wendy said don't cuss me. No. We're not telling y'all to cuss Wendy. It ain't Wendy. It won't be Wendy's fault. No, sure. We're just saying if you want to. That kind of – don't curse at them personally, no.
No, I mean, don't cuss at Wendy. Again, if you want to cuss at Brian, you feel free. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. Brian deserves to get cussed at. Speaking of Brian, let's get to Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gephardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, just like Happy Hour Friday is, the only Tennessee High Malt Whiskey. Hi, Brian. When's the last time somebody really cussed at you? Like just really gave you a good cuss?
Ooh, wow. That's a great question. Some people cussed at me this past weekend, but for not anything real bad, you know?
Like, you're drunk at a wedding.
Yeah, okay, best man, come here, you know, like, get
your crap together. I kind of cussed you this morning on our phone call.
You did, actually.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, I had to correct you. You know, things happen. All right. But I'm glad you guys were talking about gambling a few minutes ago, because last night, the way that this game finished, the Chiefs-Texans game, for those gambling on the over-under, and you heard Al Michaels make reference to it. So most books had it at 53.5. So that Harrison Butker field goal made it 54 points for the total, which for those who took the under and were really on the right side the whole night pretty much, because the Texans got those points late. They got screwed over. And the weird part about it, and I guess this is my big deal, small deal, no deal, is the fact that we still have to, like, hide references of gambling, and Al Michaels has to make little jokes. And, like, everybody's gambling. Everybody knows what's what. And for the people who don't know what they're referring to, it's weird for the listeners who don't. Just say what it is. I mean, I know they're not supposed to, but just come on. We're here. It's 2020.
It's a big deal. And here's what makes me mad about when you do the over-under or the over-under and everything, is that these garbage touchdowns and garbage field goals happens. It is the most irritating thing, man. I just think maybe they should stop the line right there if the game gets to a point where it's out of hand. So, but yeah, I just think I honestly think it's so. But it's called gambling for a reason. You gamble on the fact that they won't get that garbage touchdown or that garbage field goal at the end, man. So I say it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. I'm with you, Randy. That's why gambling sucks, because you can have absolutely called the game right, and then something fluky happens at the end and you lose your money. That's why I tend not to do it. It's also amazing how close they are. The over-under was 53.5. The total was 54. Vegas is undefeated, which is another reason why, you know, it's dangerous to do that. But I'm with you, Brian. It would have been really nice on the broadcast. It would be like if Al Michaels was, like, making reference to, I don't know, a college teammate of Patrick Mahomes or something that happened in Patrick Mahomes' past, but only hinted at it and didn't actually tell us what he was talking about. To reference something like that and then not really give the listener full information doesn't make sense. Like, I didn't know what the line was. I knew what he was talking about, but I didn't know what the field goal meant exactly. If I knew it was 53.5 and I saw that field goal go in and make it 54, then we all would have been in on it. It's a weird thing that happens right now in broadcasting. And I'm with you. Like, gambling's about to be illegal, or about to be legal everywhere anyway. And the NFL and all these leagues are about to start cashing checks off of it anyway. And maybe at that point we'll talk like grown-ups about it. But it is really weird on broadcasts when they tiptoe around it and make it this weird little secret.
Now, the one funny part about it is just old guys giggling like they're 12-year-old boys. Like, they're like, woo-hoo. You know, it's just like the two of them giggling back and forth. It's really funny when they talk about gambling lines. Real quick, we got about a minute left. Big deal, small deal, no deal. James Harden is crapping the bed again. 2-for-11 from the floor, only 21 points, 1-of-6 from deep, and just another bad playoff performance from the beard.
It's not a big deal because this is typical. They're doing a great job of blitzing him and getting the ball out of his hands. I think, you know, the game wasn't as close as it looked last night. The Lakers, I mean, they took their foot way off the pedal, started turning the ball over and everything. But I expect James to be real assertive tomorrow night. but they still ain't beating the Lakers, man. And you can't tell me he tied. I mean, he just looks like, you know, they're blitzing him and everything. He just looks like disengaged the whole time.
Right, that's the thing. That's why it's a big deal, is because he looks disengaged. He's not the first superstar who's been blitzed and double-teamed and planned for in the playoffs, but he's the first superstar who's ever shot under 20% eight different times in the playoffs. Like, this what bugs me about it. Every year James Harden scores like 35 points a game during the regular season, and all the James Harden stands get their confidence back up and start talking about how great he is. And he's great, no question. But then this happens, and this diminishes it. It does. Like, you have to show up in the playoffs in big moments. Otherwise, it diminishes it. And he does it all the time. Shocking to me. Actually, it isn't. It's no longer shocking to me, but it's disappointing. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle. It is a Happy Hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Send us what you're drinking. We'll shout you out. It's that easy. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.